Energy markets are going higher, and those in agriculture need to keep an eye out. You're listening to the American Ag Network, and good afternoon. I'm Susan Littlefield. Darren Fry joins us today with Water Street Solutions. So let's talk about what you're seeing in these energy markets.
Well, you know, there is a lot of conflict out here. And of course, maybe even this weekend, a three-day weekend, maybe this conflict with Iran will kind of escalate. But we've shipped a lot of our military over there. We know ships and planes have moved in that direction to the Middle East. And, you know, even before this conflict came up, the charts were looking like they wanted to turn. And we do a lot of quantitative work here at Water Street. We work with Eric DeGroote with The Matrix and Invisible Hand and collect a lot of data that way, but then also look at charts and look at fundamentals. And things just look very positive when it comes to the energy markets turning up here in 2026. And that'll be welcomed by grain farmers because we can't get corn and wheat to come off the lows. We can't get them off the bottom of the chart. Mm-hmm. While soybeans have some energy for higher prices here, it seems like at least they had an appetite for higher prices. Corn and wheat are just struggling. And so energy prices in general going higher will be beneficial to our grain markets.
So let's talk a little crude oil. And we've got some charts that we want to share with our viewers and listeners. Let's talk about what you're seeing in these weekly charts right now.
Yeah, so this is a weekly chart of crude. It's a continuation chart. And you can see that a lot of people were predicting we'd get down in the, you know, maybe low 50s or even high 40s because our president is drill baby drill. And then, of course, we've had this takeover of Venezuela, so be it. And a lot of people know that there's 300 billion barrels there. And hey, is this going to make crude oil cheaper? And really, crude oil is not going to get much cheaper, even though, you know, our economy isn't as strong as it could be. You take government spending, deficit spending away, and some of the incentives that we've had since the pandemic, and probably our economy isn't that strong. But really, producers on the oil side, it's been so cheap that they haven't done a lot of exploration, a lot of expansion. And there's only so cheap crude oil can get unless you have a recession. And right now, the economy worldwide, and especially here domestically in the United States, we have fought off those recession talks for now. And so energy prices at 50, 55 are just too cheap. And now we're starting to turn higher. You can see the bottom is pretty flat on that chart where that A and the C is. And now we're turning up. I think 75, 80 bucks is the next target to the upside. But then eventually, and I know I sent you another chart, which is a monthly chart, over the next year and a half, 2 years, I think crude's going to trade toward 150 bucks a barrel. And I don't know what all the reasons are for that. I just know that charts a lot of times fulfill out in the future. We don't always know the reasons or the excuses. Those come later. But money is flowing into the energy markets. And if you just look at companies like Exxon or Chevron, XOP, one of the ETFs I follow on the exploration side, they're also into new highs here. So they've been coiling for 3 or 4 years, Susan, and finally those charts are breaking out to the upside. And so I think crude oil is going to follow along here, and things get really expensive for our growers on the, you know, diesel side, the natty gas side, maybe eventually. And so we've made recommendations to lock in diesel throughout the end of the year. And we're going to extend that into 27 here at some point. But right now, I think for producers, get those inputs locked in is really a good idea.
As we continue to talk about the fact that geopolitics and the tensions that are going to continue to build going forward for those ag producers, what are some key things that they should be kind of keeping an eye out for, Darren, when it comes to market movement and market potentials out there?
Well, you know, when you think about the political strain that we have with China, I know that President Trump said that he had a great call with President Xi. They're going to buy more beans. Well, I hope they do. If they do buy even half of those 8 million metric tons, our balance sheet's going to get pretty tight. We don't have a tight situation on the corn and the wheat side. And we found out some new numbers here earlier in the week. And hey, the wheat's the largest carryout we've had domestically here in about 6 years. And corn could push higher if we see that feed and residual come down. But the bright spot is the soybean balance sheet. If we don't have any issues with China and they do buy, that's going to be very helpful. But I think as we look at the conflict in the Middle East, that definitely is going to have an impact on oil prices. And that's going to impact, I think, our corn and wheat prices and push them higher. So I really think the backdrop here is for sell and rally still. I don't see a situation where markets really turn with gusto and come out of here like a 2020 situation. Yes, we've been down and we're cheap, been that way for 2 or 3 years, but I don't see us have anything other than a nice rally to sell in soybeans, corn, and wheat until we can see these markets organize maybe differently than I see them today.
So it really sounds like we're not going to expect a takeoff per se of any prices. Let's pull up the wheat chart and let's talk about what you're seeing weekly in this wheat complex.
Yeah, you know, the wheat has been stuck in this congestion, basically $5 to $6 for the better part of 3 years, 2.5 to 3 years now. And this will resolve itself with a big move up. And that'll be, you know, $9, $10, $11 probably. Well, I shouldn't say $11. Let's taper that back. Probably $8 to $9, maybe $9.50 on Chicago wheat. I don't know what will make it do it. You need a supply shock, you need war, you need something that drives the price higher. Obviously, if you look at the left side of the chart, you can see what happened when Russia invaded Ukraine. I mean, we went clear up to $13, $13.50. But since then, it's been a huge bear market, and that selling opportunity that took place in 22, we haven't even hardly bounced since making that high. So you can see every time we bounce, like a ball bouncing along the floor, it loses its inertia. Eventually, we'll turn this market. I just don't know what it's going to take. And when we do turn it and everything lines up, then we can get a $2, $3, $4 rally from these levels. But right now, we're still in congestion zone, and we're just not going anywhere.
Well, you know, with corn and wheat, they seem to kind of sometimes go hand in hand in trade action. What do you see within the corn complex?
Well, you know, the corn's a little bit more interesting because, you know, we grow it in fewer places around the world, and we could see a problem with Safrina. Safrina is planting their crop right now. Brazil's planting the Safrina crop, I should say. And obviously their industrial use for corn as they get their ethanol industry going is ramping up. And they export a lot. They compete with us. So does Ukraine. But their export market might be a lot smaller, especially with the industrial use, but also if they run into any type of, you know, weather challenges. So their, you know, soil down there is not deep like ours here in the United States. They don't have high CECs or high organic matters. They're going to need rain all the way through April. And if we'd see the monsoon taper off early, then they could lose 5, 10, 15 million metric tons. And that could really help our exports out. I think that's the bright spot for corn is domestically, we're using a lot. We know the feed and residual number is probably too high, but we're using a lot in exports. We saw USDA on Monday or Tuesday. I don't even know what day it was. But anyway, they upped it 100 million bushels to 3.3. I guess it was yesterday that was out. And we'll see them probably up it even more as we continue to export a lot of corn. But if Safrina gets in trouble, then those exports could even go higher than what we're expecting. And that's the bright spot for corn, I think. Wheat is probably the dog of the complex. I think beans are best set up. Corn is next, wheat's last. But we got to get wheat off the floor here to help corn out. They're cousins, they're feed grains, and they will trade in similar fashion.
Well, kind of trading in their own little world just happens to be what we see in the soybean complex, Darren.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got ups in this market. You have a strong seasonal through May. Again, the balance sheet is a little bit more snug than what we have in corn and wheat. And obviously, if China does come through and President Trump gets President Xi to buy some, whether it's a 2, 3, 4 million metric tons, it'll get interesting for soybeans. We know we're probably going to lose corn acres and they're going to shift to soybeans. We're probably buying some corn or some bean acres right now with the higher base price being set. But the bottom line is you see some targets on this chart up in that $12 area, $12.50. I don't think we'll get to $14, but we can get up to that $12.50 area. But I view these as selling opportunities, not to get bullish up there, but to clean up our old crop and to get new crop sales on the books.
Want to talk a little before we jump to the livestock side. Let's talk a little bit about equity markets. What are you seeing in that arena right now?
Well, you know, a lot of people are nervous around the equity markets. And I guess, you know, I'm looking up until the end of the decade, 2030, 2031. That doesn't mean you couldn't have a 5, a 10, a 15, or even a 20% break. We see those from time to time. They're sharp, they're aggressive, they scare people. And then 6 months later, it seems like you're taking out the highs again. And so that could happen as we come into April, May, June. You could have a break like that. But I think that the longer term picture for equities is still higher. I don't know where capital is going to try to hide. I don't think it's going to be in our bond market for a lot of reasons. I think it could be in the equity markets. And right now, equity markets, not only here, but around the world, are really strong. And I think that is not a reason to sell them. It's not a reason to try to go short or liquidate. But it's an idea around, hey, there's a reason they're up. There's a reason capital flows are into them. And right now, I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Is there cracks happening in this cattle market? We've had some amazing prices going on, but it's also high prices of those sale barns.
Yeah, there are. I think there's cracks showing up. You know, this last year, a lot of people were hedged. If you take a look at, you know, June of last year all the way through fall, a lot of people were hedged. They were hedged in feeders and in fats. And I really didn't see the reason to be hedged last year because of what we do quantitatively, but also from a technical standpoint. We did have a few hedges on from time to time. Most of those proved to lose money because we just kept going higher. And so we'd get stopped out and take another shot at it. But, you know, over the last, I'd say, 6 months, a lot of people have said, hey, I don't want to get in that situation like last year, lose a bunch of money on the hedge side. I think this is a year you've got to be defensive. There's a lot of reasons I think that, and one of them is just what I see quantitatively. These trends have been stretched in the monthly time frame. We track the monthly, the weekly, and the daily. We've been up for 63 months, Susan, and that's a long time. It's the longest duration since the early 1800s. It's the longest duration that we have tracked inside the matrix. And because of that, it doesn't mean it can't extend further. It just means we're running on fumes. The chances of trends extending in time is very slim. In fact, if you look at the standard deviation, we're over 6.7. It's like 1 in 10 billion that we keep stretching this trend further out. And so time ends trends, not price, time. And I think we're running out of time here. This is seasonally a time you could put in a cyclical high. And obviously, we know fundamentals are bullish. We know the herd size is small. Mm-hmm. But sometimes that's when you top. And so that chart you had up there looked a little bit iffy with some gap reversals down. You know, last Wednesday, we had that shooting star at the top. Then on Thursday, a gap reversal down. And so far, we're just trading inside of that. We've not filled the gap. We've not closed above it. We need to do that if we're going to negate that poor action last week. But I think guys just got to be defensive and careful. A lot of these cattle are being placed at break even or even maybe losing a little. And a guy can't let this get away from him and be on a slippery slope here to the downside. That's for sure.
All right. Lots of things that we looked at. As you look at this next coming week, we have a shortened trade week next week with Monday being a holiday. What's the key that we should be looking at for next week's market trade?
I think a lot of it's going to come down to this weekend. I don't know if our president and administration is going to fire, you know, shots into Iran or not, but a three-day weekend, a lot of things can happen with weather, with political stuff. And obviously, if we have a war going on, it's going to put a little bit of a bid under a lot of these markets, especially the energy markets, which is going to help corn and wheat and bean oil. So that's what I'm looking at over the weekend. When I come into next week, we'll see what the weekend, you know, news was. But I'm watching cattle for any potential cracks there. And I'm looking for a pullback, really, in soybeans. I think you can be long those. Or at least waiting to sell beans into a rally into May. Strong seasonal for ups in the beans.
Thanks, Darren. Darren Fry joining us with Water Street. Quick reminder, commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. That is the Wednesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.